Well, thank you, Howard. I appreciate your remembering. I hope you also remember that the Taxpayers Association, you at their head, said that Utah County was the best managed county in the state and one of the best in the nation that same time. And I appreciate the fact that Utah has been recognized as the best managed state in the nation. So I like the trend. I like what's going on there, Howard. I'm honored to be here with you, and I do appreciate the work of the Utah Taxpayers Association. You certainly have been at the forefront of making sure that we have good tax policy and have robust discussion on what we need to do. I certainly want to recognize our legislators who are here who have the first and foremost responsibility to implement tax policy. That is their responsibility under the Constitution, and they've done a great job. Utah is home of the nation's strongest and most diverse economy in America today, and it wouldn't happen without good, smart, fiscally prudent tax policy, and it would not happen if we did not have good policy in place to allow the private sector to, in fact, prosper. As they take the risk and they get the reward, I appreciate the fact that we have a good state for business. Let me just mention, as I go through answering these questions, that we actually have a five-pillar strategy we utilize here in the state of Utah in trying to develop tax policy. First is economic development. Second is reducing the cost and the size and the tax burden of government. Third is debt reduction. Fourth has to do with moving people from being tax dollar recipients to taxpayers. And the fifth one is, in fact, having good tax policy. So let me just touch on a few of those things, if I could, as we answer these questions of what's good tax policy and what are we doing in the future for Utah. The health of Utah's economy is a significant factor in the tax obligation that taxpayers of Utah face. Because we are fiscally prudent in our tax policies and we have a healthy, growing economy, it reduces the pressure on having to raise taxes on businesses, on individuals and families. Businesses have responded dramatically. We've added over 217,000 new jobs in the private sector on my watch alone, and our unemployment rate has dropped down to 3.5%, one of the lowest in the nation, and is now the third most diverse economy in America today. Remarkable outputs from the good policies that we put in place. Our ability to grow the economy has a direct impact and direct effect on the taxpayers of Utah in keeping our taxes low and keeping that obligation low. Second, reducing the cost and size and tax burden of government. Government must be held accountable for the taxes that they receive and be open and transparent as far as how they spend them. The best way to assess a tax burden is to not look at just one or two or three different taxes, but to look at the overall picture of taxation for the state of Utah and looking at see what individuals and businesses have to pay. The fact is that taxes in Utah are at the lowest point they've been in the last 20 years. We've dropped from 9.6%, for example, in 2009 as a percentage of income to 9.1% in 2015 and projected to drop to 8.9% this year. That means that businesses, individuals, and families are saving money and have a smaller tax burden they've had in the last 20 years. Reducing the size and cost of government, again, the legislature's ponied up on this effort with our agencies working together. Even though we've been recognized as the best managed state in America, we know there's room for improvement. And we found our challenge to be 25% more effective and more efficient by the end of this year. We've already met that goal. What does that mean to you and the taxpayers? That means that we have, in fact, fewer state employees being paid by the taxpayers of Utah than we've had in the last 15 years. It means our ratio on my watch has gone from one state employee to 134 residents to now it's one state employee to 149 residents of Utah. That's efficiency in action. And what that means, it's saving us about $177 million in additional taxes if we just kept the status quo going forward. Third, debt reduction. From day one in taking office, we've understood the need, working with the legislature again, to reduce our debt load. And Utah's debt load is reduced over these past 5 years by almost 45%. We've, in fact, reduced the debt by $1.4 billion. And today, Utah is one of only nine states in America that has a AAA bond rating and from all the three rating agencies. Fourth, moving tax recipients, those who need government assistance, to become taxpayers. We all recognize Ronald Reagan as a great president who said we have safety net issues. We the people understand there's a need to give a helping hand to some out there and to help them not only with a helping hand, but help them to help themselves. We've worked very hard here to make sure that we have the lowest enrollment and the lowest duration when it comes to government assistance, whether it be TANF programs, food stamps, Medicaid. We're trying to help people, in fact, become self-reliant. I was invited to speak back to the congressional retreat in Baltimore earlier this year to answer the question, why is it the national average on poverty is 15, but it's only 10% in Utah, one-third lower than the national average? And for youth poverty, we're 50% lower than the national average. We're doing good things to get people off of government assistance and become self-reliant. Sound tax policy. A good tax policy has a need to have broad base in lowering the rates. User fees whenever possible to make sure that those who use the services pay for the services. Responsive to national, international competition, which is part of Utah 2.0. And includes a tax collection system that is as fair as is possible to be based on the circumstances we face in the marketplace. I support Utah 2.0. I don't know that there's a lot of differences between us here, certainly not as Republicans, on what we're doing. I currently understand that business inputs are subject to sales tax. That is not good policy. In fact, we need to reduce the sales tax on business inputs over time. In fact, we, with the legislature, have signed a number of bills to do just that. So we're being deliberate. I think we're being methodical and thoughtful in how we do that. Sales taxes are taxes on consumption and should not be taxes on production. So I further support the expansion of the sales tax exemption for manufacturing items with a short-term life. Single sales factor, again, the increased waiting for sales, I think, is a transition we need to look at. I think it does have the ability to incent companies to set up shop in the state of Utah, whether they export their products to other states or international business, which we are at the forefront today as a state with our international business opportunities. Again, I think that as we take a look at this opportunity, we need to be, again, careful. I think I support the efforts if they're done broadly. And certainly the details matter. We need to take a look at the details, and the concern would be, in fact, the revenue stream, the fiscal note that could be attached to this, particularly when it comes to impacting education. Our public education system, our higher education system, that's the seed corn of what we're talking about on our pipeline issues. We cannot jeopardize that. Howard Stevenson's been at the forefront in making sure we have alignment. He's part of our Education Excellence Commission. We understand how important it is to make sure we have skills and education and training that align up with the demands of the marketplace going forward. That's education. That means we need to fund education appropriately. And we've done with STEM education, for example, about $50 million now to put money into STEM education, which is helping us have a great outcome when it comes to economic expansion and growth. Let me just mention this again on the fair collection system. Again, there's no question, and all of you here know this as business people, that we have brick-and-mortar companies who are being disadvantaged because their competitors online are not collecting the use tax, not collecting the sales tax on purchases. We've been working on this for now nearly 17 to 18 years. It goes back to the Mike Leavitt days. It's how long we've been waiting for Washington to solve this problem. We've been working with all people in Washington, D.C. as a state, including Chairman Goodlatte. The problem with Chairman Goodlatte is he won't put a policy out on the table. He won't give us, here's a bill. The one we're supporting here as a state, and I certainly support wholeheartedly, is Congressman Chaffetz. It addresses the issues in a fair way and levels the playing field, which we all seem to agree is what we should have here in this state and across this nation. So, again, I'm here to tell you that that's the solution. That's the best hope we've got to get the federal government. In the meantime, the states are getting tired of waiting. And so the proposal we have from our legislators to put some leverage on our federal government, let's make sure the federal government gets it done and gets it done soon. We can resolve this issue once and for all. Let me just conclude by saying we have low and consistent tax rates, which are an essential part of the success we're having economically in this state. They are not mutually exclusive. They can't have one without the other. We have the lowest tax burden in 20 years. Since taking office, we've cut taxes 34 times. We have the fifth lowest corporate tax rate in America today. We have the ninth lowest overall business-friendly tax rate in the nation today. And we have the second lowest property tax rate. We're not perfect, but by golly, we're doing pretty well. And that's resulted in Forbes magazine and others saying this is the most business-friendly state in America today. I appreciate the fact that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says that looking at the states of America, they say the most fundamentally sound economy in America today is, in fact, Utah. Thank you for all you do to make Utah the best place to live, to work, and to do business. Keep up the good work, and thank you so very much.